Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of the Creature Quorum. We're here to talk about creatures, to talk about monsters, perhaps. In fact, we're here to I don't think we're going to do any hunting on air, but It's time to close out Monster Hunter for the time being. I'm Six Detmar, by the way.
I'm Alan Ibrahim, by the way.
And we have a very special guest on this episode here to help us cover the last of current, you know, mainline Monster Hunter. As they pointed out before we went live, there's also Frontier, but that's a whole ball of wax. Hello, Matthew. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Six and Alan. Happy to be here.
I understand that you think monsters suck.
That is fake news, my friend. I don't know who's spreading these malicious rumors about me. I love monsters quite a bit.
All right, I just thought I'd try. You know, I don't very often spread malicious rumors, but I hear such good things about it. I thought I'd give it a try.
Sometimes. But no, I love monsters in general, and I am a recent convert to the Monster Hunter franchise. I love them so much, I wanted to hunt them.
Wow. That's, I think they call that a yandere in the anime community.
So that you're probably going to have to explain to me. There are some animes that I've loved for a very long time, but like in terms of the community as a whole, I'm very green.
God, I'm jealous. It's not a, don't try and fix this. Don't try and get into the community. That's a bad time. But if you have the knowledge anyway, you might as well flex it. Yandere is a sort of a character archetype of the person who is obsessive with their love to the point of violence.
In terms of monsters, yes. I am now Yandere Matthew.
All right, I guess we'll put that on the show notes. We'll make sure everybody knows to call you.
I will change my handle everywhere at this point. I might even log back into Twitter and do that.
Well, let's listen to us not say things we can't take back.
True, yeah, it's true.
We're here at the end of the life of Monster Hunter Sunbreak. Pretty much all the big content has dropped, and now it's just that the one on the horizon where you've got like a grappling hook or something. I forget. There's a thing.
You get a flying mount.
Yes. Yes. They're making Monster Hunter: The Burning Crusade.
Oh. And I've watched, this is the first Monster Hunter that like I've been sort of, I'll say, in tune to like what other people are saying in like a community sense. Mm-hmm. And when I first saw the Monster Hunter Wilds reveal, I'm like, wow, they're just giving us a Pookie Pookie. Cause I'm still so new to the franchise. Mm-hmm. And you go to like, you know, two or three YouTube videos about it. And all of a sudden they're like pulling out monsters that have not existed in the franchise for a while, and they're just domesticating them, and I'm like, there's a whole lot I don't know about this series, and I'm afraid to go down that rabbit hole because it's a lot. But
I don't understand this meme, and at this point I'm afraid to ask.
Yep, exactly. Yep. I don't know who Wu-Tang is, and at this point I'm afraid to ask. I mean, I do know who Wu-Tang is, so please don't at me.
Okay. I was like, well, it all starts with the man with the iron fist, which is not true. That is not where it starts. But where we're going to start is, in fact, also not where it starts, because we usually do this just alphabetically because it's easy, right?
Right.
And you don't start off by fighting the Espinas in Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, but whatever, that's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Us.
Mm-hmm.
I still call them Espinus. I don't for some reason in my brain that's how it works.
But I still say Espinus when I read it for sure.
I mean Espinus, you know, you've got that Spanish to it, right?
Right. And Espinus kind of, because I'm an X-ray tech by trade, like I think of spinous processes, which are part of the spine, and I deal with those a lot at work. So.
And in Japanese, are they what?
As are they good? But go ahead, Alan. Say something more intelligent than that, please.
No, Espinasu. It's a penis.
Oh man.
So, no, not smarter.
No, actually.
Espinus is we have Rathians at home, is how I would describe the design of the Espinus. It's a dragon.
You're not wrong.
It's got the back legs. It's got the big wings. The difference...
It's got the fire. It's got the poison. It's basically the child of Rathian and Rathalos, right? Mm-hmm.
Is it trying to... So you've got thorns here, right? Mm-hmm. I'm giving away the game. It has spines, which like turn sort of like gradient from its base green and brown color scheme to a red.
Yes.
And is it trying to evoke the thorns on plants?
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's why it shows up in predominantly green areas, I think.
I haven't gotten very far in Sunbreak.
That's okay. That's okay. No one's here. No one's here to. No one's here to call you to the carpet for that.
I did some fight and I got fucking cooked and I was like, I'll come back later.
Yeah, yeah. If I remember correctly, when I first went through Sunbreak, I feel like Espinas. Espinas.
Darn it. We can't turn this into a YouTube poop, right? I don't want, you know, like
Snoop cartoon version. Snoop penis usual, I see.
Exactly, I was about to say. Dr. Robotnik.
I'll make mincemeat out of that No, never mind, I'm not going to do that. But Espinas is, or Espinas, is... I think all the times I've fought him, or them, I should say, have been in predominantly green areas. And I think in Sunbreak, when I first went through, it was kind of a wall. It was kind of like the first wall, because a lot of the time you're just fighting monsters you fought. You're fighting, mm-hmm. you know, amped up monsters of Rise. But I feel like this was the first real wall for me.
Yeah, I mean, the ability that it shoots fireballs, right, is mm-hmm. already like, okay, I mean, we have creatures that shoot fireballs, but that's, right. you know, that's a dangerous ability. Mm-hmm. But that they cause poison and paralysis at the same time is really rough. That's mean.
Yeah, you're making the rest of us look bad, Espinas.
And I guess probably since it's a fireball, it can do fire blight. So,
oh, it does. It 100% does.
That's a... I don't like that trio. I mean, you know, listen, if I had that on a weapon, that would be fantastic, but...
Which, I don't... I feel like this was... In my experience, I know y'all are way more experienced in this franchise than I. I feel like all of the weapons for this monster have some form of...
Spikes.
Element. Yeah, I think.
I mean, you'd imagine they have poison. They would probably have poison.
I feel like some of them might, or maybe it's just the weapons have poison and the armor has like massive fire protection.
Yeah, is there a way to see what the element is on the weapons?
I mean, in theory, the resources here are, you know, listen, we've talked about it before. Monster Hunter Wiki, thank you so much for your efforts. They're not, however, the best. There are some flaws.
I am currently an insect glaive user, and I'm looking at...
Hell yeah.
Ugh, another one of you.
Currently, my main is still bow.
Okay.
Insect glaive is what I've been playing recently. I'm also a big lance dude.
Okay, Matthew, you're back in the club.
And my first love in World was the Hunting Horn. So I think I'm probably Ooh. kind of a weirdo.
I mean, the weird part is being a person who got on with Rise and is a Lance person. That's unusual.
I'll save that.
Lance is like old school shit.
But in Rise, yes. I feel like there was something when I first picked up a Lance in Rise. It was after I had played a lot with the bow, and I'm like, I just need to try something new. Mm-hmm. And I went for it was either a Rathalos or a Rathian hunt, and I did that little pullback attack where you put your shield to the side, you just bring the lance back and smack the monster, and it knocked that thing over, and I felt like Mongo from Blazing Saddles. I'm like this, and I actually put the controller down and just laughed at what I had done, and I'm like, I'm gonna do this for a while. And you know, I've tried other weapons, and like I do like the Gunlance. I want to get better with it, but so all of the weapons in the Espinosh tree are fire. They have minimal fire element, and for the armor,
the armor seems to grant paralysis and poison attack, so you can in fact do all three if you're wearing a full set.
Armor can grant element onto your weapon.
What have I been doing with my life? that seems like a kind of almost making things just a tad bit easier when you get to the higher.
Well, you probably have to earn it to get there. It's all the way in Sunbreak.
Sure.
By the time you're in Sunbreak, you are like fully post game, so
yeah.
They hope you have some gear ready to go. Yeah, I like, if we're talking about the weapons and armor, I think the red and black theme is awesome on these weapons, mm-hmm. visually. The dual blades in particular, the Rosenzahn, remind me of, who has a glaive in pop culture? Xena?
I mean, it could be, sure, okay. It could be, like, it's very Dancer from Final Fantasy XIV. Like, you definitely get this from some dungeon.
Yes, that's not a glaive, sorry. What is that called? Whatever that's called.
I don't know.
The circle swords. Chakram.
Chakram,
oh,
yes.
Oh, chakrams, okay.
Bing bong. Sword and shield looks like it's a bloody dagger. We love that. It's all bloody.
Yes, we do.
It's bloody and dark and gothic and cool. Pretty same across the board. And then, yeah, as you said, Matthew, armor set is like a layered metal armor with red spikes coming out of all the different ends. And the mm-hmm. female version is horny.
It's not that horny.
It's pretty tame by comparison to a lot, but it is definitely, there's
just
definitely
exposing a lot of skin.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, lots of, you know, some, there's some thigh. There's a, you know, but like not that intense, I would say.
Though it's not the art, like I feel like this would make a good layered set for a glaive user because there seems to be some aerodynamics to it, with the exception of the trench coat looking garment,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with a lot of Final Fantasy esque belt buckles.
Sure.
More buckles. Oh, we might be looking at different armor sets when you guys
possibly we are. I know there's the Flaming Espinosh has a very interesting looking set.
Yes.
There's also, you might be looking at some of the Frontier armor.
Yeah. This is back in the day. This is what the female armor looked like. And when y'all said it wasn't horny, I was like,
okay, that's we'll be talking about that style when we get to the Flaming Espinosh in Rise. Here, let me go ahead and link you.
I see it. It's the one with a little bit of what's the word?
They have a wallet chain, yeah. On the female one.
Oh. That's so different. I did not get that on Google.
So okay. the regular Espinosh and the Flaming Espinosh in Sunbreak. The Flaming Espinosh, the inner garment inside of the trench coat, seems to be closer to skin tone. Specifically, yeah. This could be my character too, but and then I do like that it's still the black coat, but then on the character's left arm you have a glove with a claw and a shoulder and a claw coming out of the shoulder. Spike.
Oh yeah, I also had bad information. So yeah, here's the Flaming Espinosh one, which we'll talk about the creature itself. I do think it looks better, but it is pretty similar. Yeah.
Oh.
Neither of these reflect the G look, which for the folks at home to sort of like The one Alan is looking at is, like, you can't see the eyes. They're covered up by, like, an imitation of the, like, the creature's face.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then, like, the female one is, like, what if you put, like, a picture frame around titties? Very just...
Very, very freshman dorm room look.
Uh-huh. boy needs to be put on ice.
Freshman dorm room D&D neophyte campaign. Yeah.
Conan the Barbarian.
This is what a girl looks like.
I just figured out, you know, fantasy, and here we go.
I will say points to the original Frontier Espinosa armor. We both have pointy shoes.
It's true.
More armor and monster on these pointy shoes.
I do like a pointy shoe. I feel like, doesn't Camellios in Rise have pointy shoes? No, it just looks like the elves from Wizard of, or the, what are they, from Wizard of Oz? Are they just elves? I forget.
The
Munchkins. Yes, Munchkins. Munchkins. It is Munchkins? Jeez, okay. It's been a long time since I've seen that movie. And that's probably fine, but... Yeah, the Camellios has, like, the curled up shoes.
Reading our bio from the game real quick. Flying Wyvern is known for the red spikes on their tough green frame, forming both a means of attack and defense, thus generally keeping foes at bay. As a result, they are often seen sprawled out and relaxing in their domain. Once they sense danger, however, they will expand their blood vessels to turn their hide and wing membranes a bright red, and they will run riot with noteworthy brutality.
That checks out 100%. Especially the flaming variant. Flaming variant fight is, if you're not ready for it, it's a problem.
Yeah, so we have the hardcore, which is pretty similar. It just, you know, they do the very hard, you know, the thing they do for hardcore monsters, which is, like, we emphasize some of the more mean looking elements a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But then we do have the flaming, right?
Yes.
Which Zenith is
also,
we do have Zenith as well. Let's hit Zenith real quick, because I bet that's an easier conversation, right?
Yeah,
that's
sure.
Quicker.
It's from Frontier. That's another not Frontier. Much to read about it.
It's got a lot of pink involved, and it's fun.
I do like pink.
Love a pink monster. What's better than that?
Yeah, exactly.
Very little.
Mm-hmm.
But I might say the flaming Espinosa is better, because this is, like, you know, it's the Deathwing look, right? The molten lava sort of creeping throughout the aesthetic in a way that looks really sick.
100%.
Yeah, I love the armor set for the flaming Espinosa.
And Espinosa. I love the creature, yeah.
But take a look at that armor from Frontier, though. Even the female one is actually cool. Ugh. It's so anime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe it's just the pose that they have on the wiki, but, like, flaming at 25.
It's also, like, so general anime, yet somehow standing on its own. Like, it feels like it could be dropped into just about any, you know,
put into another show.
Yeah, you could put it just about anywhere. It's very utilitarian in that way.
But, I feel like it's dot hack to me, but...
Oh, yeah. Well, that's just that it's PS2 textures.
Sure.
Sure. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, dot hack loves its random spikes and then belly buttons.
I also appreciate the spikes on the back of the shoes, as well as the flames on the shoes.
The flames on the shoes are very funny.
Oh, like, catch.
Makes them go faster.
Like, I'm waiting for one of these, either this male or this female character, to reach down and just pump their shoes up like in the 90s.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
God, imagine if you're an Insect Glaive player, you just pump up your shoes before you go on a hunt. That would be dope.
I mean, I think you've invented a new weapon type, which is the J's.
Yeah. No, I'm in.
Yeah, you gotta pump them up before. I mean, I guess that if you're pumping them, they're Nikes, right?
So. No, they're Reeboks.
Yeah, they're Reeboks.
It's the Reebok pump.
The Reebok pump.
Wow. So I'm outed as a fake ass bitch.
Nah,
once again.
No. It's okay.
I Googled it, to be fair.
You're so real for that.
I just remember in the early 90s when I was a burgeoning basketball fan, I watched D. Brown in the slam dunk contest pump his shoes up before every attempt. And it was the dumbest sales pitch, and I ate it up.
Yeah,
like,
Reebok collecting, he's collecting checks from Reebok.
Yeah. I'm like, I want those because I want to be able to dunk with my arm across my face, not realizing that that is not a very hard dunk to do. But he won a dunk contest in the 90s, so good for him.
What more do you need?
Yeah. Exactly. Good for you, D. Brown. Good for you.
Coming to actual judgment time for this friend. I mean, this is just cool, right? This is good?
Yes.
I came into this so ready to cut it, and now I'm suddenly doubting everything.
I know. I kind of want to cut base Espinosa and keep Flaming, but yeah. I don't know if that's possible.
We're allowed to do whatever we want. We can just write. Sure. We can write Flaming only. You know, listen, yeah. If it's not gay, get it out of here.
Amen. Amen.
you're sort of, you know, listen. We can't take this policy with everything. This could get dangerous.
Sure. Sure.
But in the right context. Yes.
It might be dangerous, but I feel like the consequences will more often than not still be fun.
True. True. And I think that's a yes on Espinosa as long as Flaming only. Flaming
yes.
only.
Yeah.
Flaming only.
Just I like my Espinosa the way I like my Cheetos.
Flaming hot.
Exactly.
I like my Espinosa like I like my Cheetos. Men.
Okay. You really cooked for that one for a long time. I was like, should we cut the silence?
I just think of an Espinosa, just the wiki image of the Espinosa, and then just the logo Flamin' Hot right in front of it.
Flamin' Hot.
Well, enough on that friend for now. Let's move on to another pal. Let's look at the Geismagorm.
You know, I'm gonna come out swinging. Don't like this one. Don't
get
like
him.
It one bit.
Get him, Matthew.
Don't like it one bit. When I first fought this thing, I was like, "Oh, this is cool," but then I realized that it is just. It's Elder Dragons, and it's a siege fight. I don't think it's a very good.
Oh,
siege
it's a
fight.
Siege fight. You just took it way down in my view.
Like, and I thought, like, oh, they're trying to do another like Zora Magdaros where they introduced Nergigante, and you know, and then Nergigante to me pretty badass for a monster. I do love Nergigante, but this, like, it's just almost immediately it comes in, it swings at the hunters, messes them about a bit, but then it just spends the rest of the fight trying to run away, especially in like the second phase. It's just climbing, and it makes it honestly. Okay, so I'm gonna go on a little diatribe here. I apologize. Maybe not a diatribe, but just a tangent. When I first played World,
yep,
and I got a few hunts in, got to where I had to hunt the Kuliyaku, and the Kuliyaku is a silly fight to me.
He's so fun. He's so great.
We love him.
It's a deeply silly fight, and I'm so happy it exists. However, I had such a trauma response when you follow the Kuliyaku back to its nest, and it picks up an egg and holds it up, and then you break the egg. I'm like, oh no, I just killed its child.
No, you killed someone else's child. See, that wasn't his egg.
Sure.
He stole
those. I know that now, but I didn't know that in 2018 when I played Monster Hunter World for the first time. And the thing is, like, my partner is not, she's not a gamer, but like she'll she and I play games together every so often, and she came down because she could tell I was having a lot of fun with this, and she watched me do that. She's like, oh, I don't know if I like this. I'm like, I'm not sure I do anymore either. But, you know, got past it. I love Kuliyaku and all of its silliness. Geismagorn can go away almost immediately. However, Geismagorn's lance, pretty dope looking.
Okay.
I will say that.
I do love, we got to read the journal entry, but the wiki's note on this is very funny, which this is just a good sentence. Geismagorm appears to be based on demons or the devil. There's something about that that's just very funny to me.
It's just like, we want to say evil without just saying it's evil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Geismagorm is also the final boss for the main Sunbreak storyline. And I'm watching the fight right now. It looks like there is a version of this fight that's not siege-based, which is good. You can just jump down a cliff and fight him. He's very big.
I think that's the second phase, actually.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes plenty of sense. This fight has cover, which is interesting. He does one of those, like, because he has a big mouth with a big tongue, right?
Yes.
And he sucks you in so you can, like, stand behind a rock and not get slurped up. And then he follows that up with like a fiery explosion. He's got these big hands. This is a unique, I don't think it's a unique skeleton. We talk a lot on the Hundred Score about different monster skeletons. He feels like a unique skeleton if he's not actually.
I feel like Geismagorm is unique within the context of Sunbreak and Rise.
Sure.
Probably, I have a feeling that Sunbreak specifically, Sunbreak Rise and World are bringing in the most new folks, especially with like the Return to World thing happening right now. I feel like anybody who kind of found Geismagorm and immediately like thought that, oh, this monster's awesome. I'm not trying to say you're wrong if you do. But I feel like they might say, oh, this is probably not a new thing when you get to World. Mm-hmm. And I say that as someone who's not been through all of Iceborne yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's got this, like, unfolding umbrella mouth that it's unique, but I don't think I like it.
Why not?
I think
what that mouth do? We finally answer the question.
I guess that's a good point.
Well, I do get the vibes of, I think, I don't remember if it was Alan or Six that said this on the Rise episode, but it feels like there's way too many mouths there.
Seems like something I would say.
Like, there's too much mouth.
It's also like Riku, they put bugs in him, right? Because Geismagorm's whole deal is that he's full of bugs.
I think the lore is Geismagorm is the source of the Curio,
yeah.
Oh,
which, talk about a name that gets more forgettable every time you think about it.
I mean, the problem is, I feel like a lot, like, the thing with the Curio is like them doing another take on the
what's it called?
There's the monster that has the angry juice.
In Monster Hunter?
Remember
in World?
Yeah.
Was this like Safi Jiva?
I don't think it was. Oh boy, I'll no, it's Gormagala. It's Gormagala.
Oh. Oh, okay.
The angry juice.
And you know, Shigeru Magala. They have like this, like, special, yeah, the frenzy virus, there it is, the angry juice.
Angry juice,
you remember that shit, and that shit was cool.
Sure.
And it feels like they're kind of trying to do it again, but this time it's like vampire juice and their bugs. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's as cool. And then apparently this guy's a siege fight that runs away a lot, and he's got two sets of hands, which is kind of fun, but I don't know that it does it for me.
Well, it's not that he runs away, because he's just in a tiny arena and he just spends half the fight just climbing up the mountain to get away from you for whatever reason.
A gargantuan monster living in the darkest depths since ancient times. Geismagorm's rock-like forearms boast tenacious strength, which allows it to burrow underground. It has a symbiotic relationship with the Curio, and feeds on their life force for energy. Once it has chosen a place to nest, it collapses the surrounding rock bed to create an opening to the surface. The opening forms a massive crater in which it releases the Curio through.
You bring that recorded intro to Geismagorm, I'll allow him. Just saying, that was awesome sex.
Thank you. My rates are, frankly, they're pretty low.
Yeah.
I'm cheap. I'm a cheap date.
Oh.
Awesome.
I mean, listen, you know, if just I'll go on the date. Don't expect anything to happen, but if you want me to have dinner with you, sure, if you'll pay for dinner, problem.
I'm not asking for anything. But, so I just looked at Geismagorm's insect glaive.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of sick.
Oh, that is pretty cool.
It's kind of sick.
It's got this, like, curling evil bone branch.
It's a wizard wand, an evil wizard wand, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, the heavy bowgun is a Geth assault rifle from Mass Effect.
It is. What a weird pull, Six. What a weird correct pull.
The bow. Man, am I becoming a fan all of a sudden?
I mean, listen, we can be camp fans. This is why we have two columns. This is why we have creature and equipment separate, right?
Yeah. Okay.
This equipment seems pretty sick. I have it scrolled down to armor. Let's see. Damn!
I know. Hold on.
So cool!
I just want to say something. This is my last chance to save the guys from war. First of all, that armor is fucking incredible. Yes, it's like, you look like you are an ancient predecessor race.
Look like you're the boss from the next Soul Calibur.
Yeah, it's great on both male and female. It's also basically the same on both, which is the horns are slightly different, but it's great. The Geismagorm, it says it's like similar to the devil because it is supposed to be the parallel to the Malzino, which we'll get to, which is the vampire. So that horror theme was something that they went for really big with Sunbreak.
I see.
That's why it's all devil-y like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But equipment's a slam dunk across the board. The dual blades have this sort of like, again, chakram. But one's a moon, one's the sun. That's fantastic. Yeah. The hunting horn looks like a void. They're all very good, and the armor's very good.
Yeah, I'm definitely in on the equipment.
Yeah. Yeah, no question. But I think we could lose the creature itself.
But then who's gonna date the vampire?
Listen,
I have some friends. I shouldn't just say Jen on air, but whoops.
Well, I mean, there has to be vampire Tinder out there, right? Well, it'll happen.
I think it's called Tender instead.
Wow.
Fair. Very nice.
Thank you. You never know the ones that'll hit.
Yeah, you just have to keep throwing it at the wall.
Yeah. Okay. God, don't I know it.
You do.
So, can we just go to Malzino next?
Yeah, I mean, that probably makes
sense.
They're
paired monsters, that's fine.
Yeah, we can double back.
So, you can't really talk about Malzino without talking about Primordial Malzino.
Oh, yeah?
And, yeah, Malzino that you get in Sunbreak is affected. They are affected by the Curio. Elder Dragon affected by the Curio. They have the pink fur. Malzino base form looks glorious to me. It's one of my favorite fights that I've fought in the two Monster Hunter games that I've played. Primordial Malzino the lore behind Primordial Malzano is in the fight, in a cutscene, you see that Malzano is just as annoyed with the Curio as the Hunters and Elgato and Kamara are. And Primordial Malzano is trying to watch over the land alongside the Hunters. And in the game, you basically destroy the Curio that are attacking Primordial Malzano. Mm-hmm. Flies off into the sunset and kind of like, you guys are buds now. I love that. And I will kind of go to the mat to defend it, because in this game, in terms of like trying to, for lack of a better term, trying to care about backstory of the characters, it kind of left me wanting. But seeing this all happen in the span of a fight, like this much storytelling there, I was like, oh, this is amazing. It's also right. easily my favorite fight in the game. I will say that much, but I will concede, because Malzano and Primordial Malzano do just look like boilerplate dragons.
But if you look closer, I mean, like, there's, you know, the vampire aesthetic versus like the like king riding into battle aesthetic of Primordial Malzano is very clear. I do want to like point out that normally we just read the journal entry. The poem for Primordial Malzano, though, is fucking sick. As the Lord has once again settled in his rightful place to bring down the hammer of justice on the servants who betrayed him. With swift attacks, he smites the wicked. Hark, the cries of his traitors herald his return. That's cool.
Oh, yeah, you hear that in game at the beginning of the fight.
And it's like, listen, Curio, he's fucking done with your shit.
Yeah, yeah. Primordial is sick of you.
Primordial looks like a Bayonetta boss.
That's true.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
And I'm watching the fights, and they both look really good. I like that Primordial seems to be maybe a little bit bigger.
Primordial is a little bigger.
Okay.
I mean, because, you know, you pulled the blood out of it.
Yeah.
To make, you know, normal Malzano. It's like Primordial is Gabriel Belmont from Castlevania Lords of Shadow.
Yeah.
And then Malzano is him from Lords of Shadow 2, where he's Dracula.
Yeah?
I don't know. I didn't play those games.
What?
I'm just a book of bad references.
These fights do look entertaining, right. Though. I mean, it's a dragon fight, but like, it's very fast. It's very mobile, and it doesn't have any like special arena. At least it doesn't seem like it. But
no, it's not.
That doesn't have to be points against at all to me.
It's the normal Malzano is also like a very pretty design. Yes. On its own. But if you look at some of the like the official artwork, the concept art, it's really like. Really cool.
It's elegant in a way that, like, most, and I say this with most monsters in this game are not elegant to me, but that one is, there's like a regalness to it, and especially Primordial. I don't remember where the pod fell on Kushala Daura, but the first time I walked into the Primordial fight, it was in the middle of the Citadel, and Primordial is just walking around. I'm like, wow, that looks like a Kushala Daura that just got out of like a car wash. It looks like it looks shiny in a way that's like clean. It is prepared for you to show up, and it's looking its best to destroy you.
Kushala for what it's worth. Sorry.
Okay, cool. Yeah. No worries. And I was just like, wow. It looks like almost a Kushala Daura that I don't dislike the fight, because sometimes Kushala can be a pain to fight. I love Primordial Malzano, and I will fight there.
Yeah, they turned a vampire into a fucking monster. It looks great. That's for the regular. This is a great box art for Sunbreak release.
Sure.
I'm wondering, does it have equipment? What's the deal?
It does.
I like the equipment a lot.
I'm using game8.co for this one. I'll just go ahead and link you the armors at least. So I am finding that, like, I think the primordial, both of them look good. Mm-hmm. On the Malzano itself, I think the male set looks pretty cool, and the female is kind of...
Female is kind of blah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The female one is just a little generic. There's a lot of, like, pointy dress and big faceplate armors. Does she have, like, a handkerchief in her neck? Neckerchief?
Probably.
That's primordial or regular?
I believe this is regular, like the silver one. Now let me look at primordial.
Primordial kind of looks like the Silver Knights from Dark Souls.
God, yeah. These are totally... Yeah. These are Dark Souls 2 enemies.
Yeah.
Built different.
Yes. It's so funny. They barely look different. The only difference is that the female one has a breastplate.
Yep.
And has thighs. And the male one has thighs. It just doesn't cover them with armor. I'm overanalyzing the thighs of fictional characters. I like the normal Malzano armor a little bit more. Like, just personally, I like color and primary colors especially, but I think the primordial one is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then what about weapons? Do we have weapons?
Primordial weapons are dope, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think the primordial weapons are much better. Unfortunately, again, the images on this are a little on the small side. Okay. But it's very knightly silver and gold looks for primordial. Yeah.
They're going for they're going for a gothic motif.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's like
go ahead.
I'm gonna say something really stupid, so you go ahead.
And it's the difference between it and the regular Malzano is mostly colors.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. For weapons at least, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just more darker gothic versus the more, you know, like knightly look.
Heavy bow gun looks kind of like a crossbow.
Well, it is a crossbow.
Yeah, but it's, you know how sometimes they look like...
True,
like
true.
You said, rifle from a Geth in Mass Effect. Like,
sure, yeah.
It's just a banal crossbow. And, like, you know, right below it you have the T-Grex that just is a giant gun with a dragon face on it.
You're right. I mean, I want to keep both of these things. I want to keep the creature and the equipment. I just think they're really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the primordial equipment more, but I'm okay with keeping both. I do love both.
Yeah, monsters. If I have to, like, that's exactly how I feel. All
right. Okay. Cool. Well, two friends left. We can double back now to the Garan Golem. Garan Golem.
The Garan Golem, Rajang meets Shadow of the Colossus.
Oh, it's but, so shadow.
but neither elegant nor dramatic.
I'm texting Fumito Ueda right now. Yo, homie, they stole your swag.
Whole flow, bar for bar.
Bar for bar.
But then Fumito Ueda would be like, well, I'm not doing anything with it.
Yeah, I'm not. I have no plans. Fair. Like, when's the next game come out? He's like, what next game? Fanged Beast, Big Mouth.
I do have to say something that is... I play a buddy of mine, Zach, who he and I kind of
coaxed him to come back to Monster Hunter with Rise. And now he and I are going to play through World once we're finished with Rise and Sunbreak. When we were hunting Garangum for the first time, he just said, "Oh, it's Jerry Gergich from Parks and Rec," and I've not been able to get that out of my head. So because it's cursed me, I'm trying to curse you guys. You both too.
God damn. And...
So I'm sorry, but not sorry.
That's just called being a big guy, though. I get it. Like, the energy is there. And the well, hair color, whatever.
So picture the scene. Like, look at... So this is going to be a weird Google, but Google Jerry Gergich in the tub. And it looks like you've walked in a Garangolm's lair and woke him up.
Yeah, okay. There it is. Yep.
specifically that episode of Parks and Rec. That's the only thing I think of whenever I think of Garangolm now. Yeah, that. Yeah, exactly. Oh. He was there just reading with a glass of red wine in the tub, you know, doing some self-care, and now you've woken up. He has his rubber ducky holding his book up. I mean, come on.
You know what I think Garangolm looks like just from looking at the fight right now? He looks like if, you know how, this is a really specific pull, but this is what we do on the Quorum. You know how there are those mobile game ads where it's like, level one, you're a piece of shit. Level two, you have armor. Yeah. Level three, you're insane. You're covered in fucking sores.
Yeah.
This, like, Donkey Kong is level one. Garangolm is level three. Like, you in the free-to-play gacha game that you start as Donkey Kong, you finish the game as... Am I making sense? Is this, like, tracking?
No, you are making 100% sense. And then, like, level four here is where he's got one fist that's fire and one fist that's earth.
This fight is doing that. That's so cool.
Garangolm is, like... three notches away from being a full Captain Planet cast. Like,
yeah. So close by his powers combined.
Exactly.
Yeah, the fight's awesome because he's just throwing down punches back and forth, burning. Yeah. And then when he does oh my god, Six, watch the fight. You gotta
the fight's dope. The fight's when, dope.
When he does the fucking fire punch, he punches down and it launches him upward. Oh yeah, that's beautiful. That's a work of art right there, homie.
Oh wow. Yeah, he did a little he did a bomb jump.
Yeah, exactly. He does bomb jumps. He goes so high so fast. And then he shoots rocks at you with the earth, so he's just like jumping behind you and then spitting rocks at you, jumping behind you, spamming that attack. I love it. I'm enamored. This is my kind of monster.
Looking at it in person, I do kind of dig his like dual elemental fists. That is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's great. They did more with double elements in Sunbreak because a lot of guys have like two different types of element resistances or strengths, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But to literally take the like Rajang Kongala like ape type body and turn that into a like completely unique fight without having to make a brand new skeleton is like fucking fantastic.
And then, you know, the name is trying to evoke it, but there's, like, Garangolm, he looks golem-y.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I never thought about doing the etymology of the Monster Hunter monster names. But, yeah.
Now, I'm just going to ask, before the verdict is passed, does the tail throw you guys off at all?
The little hand tail?
I like it better. Okay. I think the tail helps for me.
All right.
Did we keep
I think it makes it more than just a monkey with rocks on, you know?
Yeah.
We kept so
I guess
I-Pom,
monkeys have...
which I think was because we did keep I-Pom. I fought for that one, I believe. I remember you not liking
it. I seem to recall you coming out with some like wild shit for that one, and I was like, all right, if this is where you want to bring this passion, I guess that's fine.
I need to go back and listen. The Quorum's been going for so long, I don't know what I liked about any Pokemon anymore.
we've had people be like, you know, like, I can't believe you cut Pikachu, and we're like, what?
What did I do? That's clearly wrong.
That's crazy.
Yeah, the Garangolm, it was a monster, hard keep. Now let's look at some weaponry.
Armor, I will say, the sexual dimorphism has never hit harder, oh, right?
For sure. For sure.
The male is like, you are Grand Golem, you are him. And yeah. The female is like, what if you had a yellow dress?
Yeah. Oh my god.
It's wild.
It's literally how queer couples in fucking Brooklyn will dress. These two people. What the fuck? I love the female one. It's so cool. It's like a little...
Really? I hate the female one.
I mean, it looks incredibly impractical.
It also just looks, I don't know, like, it feels like you had another model lying around, and, like, you strap some rocks to it and change the colors. What about this is Grand Golem?
So,
and
I every time I look at this, and this is probably a pretty specific poll, it just looks like Iman from Michael Jackson, Remember the Time video.
Yeah, I don't get that one, homie.
Yeah, it's,
sorry.
It's, I'm very old. I apologize, but like the beginning of that with the scene where Eddie Murphy is a pharaoh and his wife is kind of...
Oh, I recently watched this music video. It's a great music video. Yeah.
But yeah, the female version looks like Iman from Remember the Time.
Totally. Wow. I'm pretty sure she's based on like Cleopatra also, so you could have just said that and then I would have got it, but I appreciate the slightly deeper cut. Devin, yeah, is awesome. There was one night recently, I think for like Christmas or something, where I was at friends in New York and we stayed up very late just watching all the like 90s era Michael Jackson videos, and they get so weird, like after his like in one of the like the late 90s, right? Like after mm-hmm. the sort of beast of success, you get all sorts of weird cameos. The one with I think Marlon Brando is also nuts. Like there's just so many.
Yep. Clones. Yep. The movie Ghosts is
yes.
wild. Yeah.
Oh, were we? Yeah.
We're talking about the fact that
Monster Hunter.
Yeah, the heavy bowgun looks like a Quake 1 gun.
Yep, it does. It 100% does.
It's like quad-barreled shotgun.
I like
the heavy
that...
bowgun.
Uh huh.
I like that the lance is just essentially a pillar made out of Grand Golem's armor. It's not pointy. It's not a stabby. Like you are meant to just. You are meant to do blunt attacks with this weapon.
Hell yeah, blunt attacks. Yeah, it looks like a whacking stick. And yes, I can hear the Quake ammo pickup noise. The shotgun ammo pickup noise when you show me.
Meanwhile,
that.
The hammer is the hunting horn is Donkey Konga.
Yep, 100%.
Whoa. I like it.
The hammer is a hammer. It's just kind of a hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a mallet. That's like an Amy Rose mallet.
I highly doubt that they have this because usually weapons don't go this far, but it'd be really cool if you could bomb jump with it like he does.
Well, yeah, and I know that, like, that would break a lot of things, but Insect Glaive kind of does that.
I don't know what the sword and shield looks like. I'm looking at the charge blade now, and it looks very Legend of Zelda-y.
Yeah, the sword and shield look fine. There you go.
I feel like with the sword and shield, there's a move like that, and with that blocky of a sword, it kind of works. But it would be better if it was with a hammer. But I do think with in Rise and Sunbreak with the silk bite attacks, there is a hammer attack where you basically just do somersaults.
Yeah, I think the weapons are mostly pretty cool.
Yeah.
They're pretty workmanlike.
No, but this is a boy who does work.
Yes. Yeah, true.
Armor, I'm split because, you know, I personally think that the female armor looks bad.
Yes.
And that's fine.
Well, I think it's fun. It's not practical. Like, it's not good monster. It's good armor to look at, but it's not good Monster Hunter armor. And the male one. How do we feel about the male one, though?
I like the male one. I don't know, it's a little, it's kind of unimaginative because it really is just you are the Grand Golem, but...
Or, ayo fellas, you got your coats.
Sure, yeah. And your crowns.
Feel like the Palico armor for Grand Golem is your kind of, your Palico becomes like a little tank, if I remember
correctly. Cute.
So I would...
Oh my... Yeah, that is
cute. Cute. Sorry, I'm fixating. Get out of here.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
The Palamute, it turns into a horse.
Yeah.
Wait, what the fuck? That's crazy.
There are a couple of those.
That's yeah, not, I'm noticing that. Yeah. They realize that they can anything you can ride on, it can be anything. It doesn't have to be a doggo. Sorry. I'll cancel myself for saying that. Yeah, I think we're talking around it, but Garen Gome is a hard keep on across the board.
I don't know about a hard keep, but I'm all right with it.
Well, it's a monster hard keep.
I'm pretty monster hard keep. You can take or leave the equipment. The bow is like unwieldy large.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like it is just the lance with a string attached to it.
Do you want to just cut the weapons? Are there any weapons that make us excited?
No.
Okay, cut the weapon.
Not me.
Okay. I mean, but then why don't we cut the armor too?
Sure.
We'll keep the monster, cut the equipment?
Yeah.
Sure.
Take the cannoli.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Now, the weirdest thing happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, Toby Kadachi is in here twice. It's the little girl.
Thank you. Thank you. And it's not even a better Toby Kadachi. It might be worse, actually. It's Toby Kadachi with claws.
No, you're getting it mixed up. Toby Kadachi is not it's like a Zenogre. It's more like a Zenogre than it is like a Toby Kadachi.
I don't think that's true, but...
Okay, well, Zenogre, to be fair, has like the humpy back, which, no, it doesn't have that. But like, all the images I'm looking at of a Toby Kadachi right now look too scaly to look like the Lunagaron.
Well, this is just like, you know, like they gave it a spit and polish. I mean,
yeah,
you know.
Like Toby Kadachi is essentially a squirrel, whereas Lunagaron is going for the werewolf thing because of the horror aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And then in mid fight, it, you know, stands up on its hind legs, does a little gut roar, and all of a sudden it has ice claws.
Put it this way: if you have a fanged wyvern, right, and you go light side in Knights of the Old Republic, you end up with Lunagaron, and if you go dark side, you end up with Odogaron.
I get that reference.
Odogaron's from World, right?
Odogaron's so cool.
Is Odogaron the one that like Sonic the Hedgehog around? Is that the one curls
no.
up?
No, Odogaron's the one where you're like, wait, they forgot to give it skin.
It's got, like, no skin in the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like
it's got two layers of hands with double needles. Oh, it's so creepy. That's
great creepy mean boy. He was fantastic.
It's like a creepypasta. But no, Lunagaron, God, yeah, we have really just seen this type of design before, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, let's look at the gallery, see if it has any real
While you scroll those, do you want me to read the in-game description?
That would be fantastic. I would appreciate it.
Lunagaron have an organ that chills the air they inhale, circulating it throughout the body in a unique form of thermoregulation. They can travel long distances and endure environmental changes, allowing them to occupy a wide variety of habitats. They usually walk on all fours, but can stand on two legs by shutting down their cooling mechanism, spiking their body temperature to expand their muscles. That's kind of cool.
So physiologically, I like that, but also like...
That doesn't reflect anything much in the game.
Yeah. Rajang is weak to snow, but you always find him in snowy areas because you will never understand what his true motives are.
That's for the next game.
It's that we still don't know about Sephiroth. Exactly. We still don't know about Rajang.
I mean, Rajang is essentially Ryu, right? Or Ryu from Street Fighter. He just wants to go punch waterfalls and challenge himself.
Lunagaron is literally Odogaron. Hold on, now I gotta look up the Odogaron fight. This is not a unique fight, is it? Do they just make
it
icy
version? The form change is different.
Okay.
It's other, like, fanged wyvern, like, snaky lizard guys don't do that.
Okay, they're different enough.
Well, I didn't say that.
They're different enough to not be litigious?
All right, I support this.
I like the form change. I like ice fights. That's, like, you know, that's what I would have come to Iceborne for. And it's cool that Sunbreak doesn't just have one type of, like, they're not all gothic. There's also these types of guys.
Right. What's up?
I really like this longsword.
Lunagaran's weapons do look cool. I will say that. The equipment does look good. I don't remember the armor. I'm going to take a look right now.
Wait a minute. The dual blades are just its hands.
Yeah. They're its hands with Espinas spikes.
Ooh, yeah.
Or tiny chunks of Valstrax wings, whichever way you want to go about it.
The sword is very good.
Yeah.
It's very pointy.
Let's look at this armor.
You see
pointy. Huh. Let me get y'all's take on this, because I don't know.
Oh.
The first one is like an interesting weird Destiny armor, and the second one is like, listen, near the end of Street Fighter 4, they got really creative with the skins for Cammy.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I also feel like it's just lesser Geismagorm armor.
Yeah. Yeah, the male one looks like a background character in a Toku show that you're like, oh, that guy's kind of cool. And, like, he has one fight and then is jobbed out. And then the female one is Ice Cat Girl. Like, you put into ChatGPT Icy Cat Girl. And it was like, and it just, like, kind of looks bad and vaguely trying to do two things at once.
Palico look is not it.
Really?
No.
It's, this is so unimaginative. You would think this is, like, a really early fight.
Bruh.
Yeah.
And then I do like the
cuteness of the Palico does not save this armor set at all.
Yeah, exactly.
I do like that the Palamute one looks like, oh, it's a PS1 Lunagaran.
Yeah, it looks polygonal.
Polygonal Sif from Dark Souls.
We have Sif at home.
Yes.
There is an interesting layered weapon we should talk about. The stuffed Lunagaran.
Whoa, that's
fun. Yeah, cute. That's kind of fun.
It's giving stories.
The plushy weapons are fun.
Especially because they have the little tag. That's a very good detail.
Yes.
And like when they're sheathed on your back, it's like the monster is just sort of like hanging to your back. It's very cute looking.
Aww. Mm-hmm. Sweetie. Now I'm looking at fucking Sif from Dark Souls. You got me distracted.
Sorry.
The weapon for the Palamute version has like the Scales of Judgment? What?
Whoa. That's unnecessary.
Lunagaran Palamute is all seeing, all knowing, all judging. From the PS1.
Huh. Yeah, I think we're cutting this guy though, right? And like keeping the equipment?
I
because the weapons are cool?
Yeah. I think really the plushy weapon has kind of saved it. But that sword's pretty cool.
The sword's pretty cool.
Yeah, okay. Keep the equipment. Monster can go. I'm alright with that.
Are you down with that, Alan?
I'm down with that.
Alright. Wow. We did it.
Looks like we did it.
All monsters hunted.
Yeah.
Even... But six, what about blah, blah, blah?
Oh, your frontier friend? No. We'll talk about it. Maybe we'll do it someday. I don't know.
But six, what about the Metal Gear from the canceled fucking mobile game?
We did
that, motherfucker. We did that.
Did they cancel the mobile game?
no, sorry, other mobile game, the Japanese only mobile game that no longer exists. The mobile game you're thinking of is still, what is that called again?
Monster Hunter Now.
Yeah, that's still around. I don't think
they're. Oh yeah, that's still up. I played some within the last month.
I dropped off hard. I don't.
Yeah, I bet. They added some new shit. They added new weapons. It's cool. Like, not just, like, new, but, like the new weapon new types. Weapon like, types. You got lances and dual blades. It's fun.
If I had anything resembling, like, an office job, I would probably play that. But because I'm in healthcare, I don't have the time or the spoons for it, unfortunately.
Well, until Monster Hunter Wild comes out, I mean, I guess it's possible we'll pop in, we'll get antsy and we'll do some Frontier designs, but there's no plan right now, right? So
that's correct.
Until then, I think that's it for us.
I'm happy to be here at the end of the world.
It's great to have you here. Yeah.
Hunt completed.
Indeed. Damn, I guess we're taking it to the plug zone. Matthew, as our noble guest, please go first.
I don't think anyone has ever used noble in reference to me, but I will take it.
I have knowledge about your true parentage.
Really? Oh,
we'll talk after you.
Share off mic, please. I guess you can find me. I still have a handle on Twitter, though I rarely log in. It's infinite_rewind. I'm on Blue Sky at infinite-rewind.
That's how you know you use it a lot, is when you say it with a question mark. You're like, what's the name of that service?
Well, see, because I used it, because that's the one that messed everything up, or that and co-host messed everything up because I couldn't do the underscore. But I rarely use co-host, so don't. If you at me there, I won't see it for a while. But I am on Blue Sky quite a lot, talking about music and games. I do have a movie podcast called Free Reeling It.
Yeah.
We pick a movie and talk about a movie and possibly other stuff that we've been watching at the time. We just recorded an episode on the 1967 French movie Playtime by Jacques Tati, which is a favorite of mine. And my co-host Jesse seemed very overwhelmed by my enthusiasm for that one. But also, you can hopefully soon find me on Scanline with the Bald Gun Guy podcast.
Yeah.
Which I'm so excited. Well, and to be fair, the reason that hasn't been around, kind of my fault. Right after we recorded the very last episode, we gave birth to our son. He's almost a year old now. And he's walking and he's awesome, but I'm ready to quote an old Damon Wayans flick, I'm ready to get back to killing.
Wow, that's I just wanted to do a podcast, but maybe the plans have changed.
We're doing the sniper assassin missions, and there's lots of killing in those.
That's true. That's true. Lots of also putting up with the worst part of the game.
Yes. Waiting. But well, yeah, thank you so much. That's where you can find me. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Matthew.
I'm so excited. I'm so glad that y'all let me crash the party at the end.
It's no better way to close it.
Yes.
Alan.
Yes.
Why don't you tell the folks where to find you?
I can tell the pokes, because we do a Pokemon podcast, technically. It's called the Tourism Committee. It's on the same feed as this. You better be listening to it, because we're going to hit gym number 3 in Pokemon Gen 5. Can you tell I just ran out of energy, dissociated, and then came back to life right there? Because I'm here, guys.
Boy, I know you. I know what it sounds like. I know the whole cycle.
What just electrocuted you, Alan?
I don't know what I do anymore. Chats and Television Podcast, Couch Madness. We talk about TV, CHATZ. Check out Chats. We're a great TV podcast. My best friend and I host it. It's a lot of fun. And we just did a really great episode on Xena Warrior Princess versus Quantum Leap. So
can confirm, Chats is awesome.
Thank you. That's really nice of you to say.
And talking marketing, right?
I don't plug that on Scanline because nobody here is going to listen to my bi-monthly marketing podcast that I do for career reasons. But if you do want to listen to that, that's at amaboston.org. Just look up Talking Marketing Podcast.
Yeah.
I do need to learn about marketing.
Sure. There you go. It's a great way to do it. I talk to cool people and learn cool things.
I listen to it and Scanline's not, I can't, I don't know, it's going to do some funny, like, you know, like our numbers went, it's like,
no,
they didn't.
No.
But Anyway, if you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter and co-host at SixDetmar, SixDetmar. Somehow that wasn't taken. My DMs are open if you have any questions, comments, or anything like that. For this or any other Scanline mercs, there are a lot of those. You should go to scanlinemedia.com or patreon.com/scanlinemedia. As mentioned, of course, we have other stuff here on the quorum. We have the Bald Gun Guy podcast. Alan and I are on the Garnet Wager. I almost said Johto Quorum, which is like, no, that's already, we're already, anyway. A lot of stuff.
Yes.
It's time to close the door. It's time to, you know, we put the sacred tome back in its place of all of our judgments. You know, turn out the light. And before we go, we say one last thing.
Hunt complete. Quest complete. Fuck. I fucked it up.
Returning to the first time.
Quest complete.